I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings.
Dude, that's pretty cool.
Man, that is a,
Dude, that's pretty good.
This is The Gloom, bringing you weekly interviews with F3 Omaha Packs, exploring their F3 experiences and finding those sticky elements that create the glue in the gloom.
Shout out to our sponsors. Major Team Mortgage, Omaha Laser Dentistry, Exclusively Eye Care, Liberty Core Real Estate, Avier Wealth Management, and Apex Men's Clinic. We appreciate their support.
Hey, are you the type of guy that likes to get up early in the winter to battle your jester? Do you love listening to people drone on and on and on about COVID in the gloom? Would you trust your vision to a guy nicknamed Cataracts? Well, if the answer to any of these questions is yes, fellas, you have bigger problems than you think. Dr. Cataracts, aka Dr. Wolf, can't solve all of your problems, but he can certainly help you solve the problems related to your eye health and vision. You will find many F3 principles throughout his practice. Check him out today at Exclusively Eye Care.
Now let's get back to the gloom.
And we're back. Man, I'm really excited. This one's been about 4 years in the making or more.
Probably five now.
Yeah. I love seeing this guy. I will never forget, and maybe we'll get into this, but Khakis and I went and had a morning coffee with our brother Hua, and we were getting ready to launch down in Sarpy, and the timing wasn't right. And but a few years later, the timing was right, and we got lucky to get Hua into the group and get him to lead. And recently, he just handed off the flag at the Octagon. And so, man, it's good to see you. Excited to hear your journey and your story. And would love if you maybe just start us kind of your version of that EH journey. And then if you remember what that first workout was like, would love to hear your account.
Yeah, sure. We'll call it the MASH workout, but I'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, I had Khakis at a, so going way back, Khakis' brother, older brother, was my roommate in college. So I've known Khakis since 1983 and stayed in touch with the family, you know, for many, many years and still do to this day. But Khakis had EH'd me a number of times, but at that point, my M and I were working out at Orange Theory. It was a block from our house in Papillion. And so we'd just walk up there in the mornings and things. So that was going really, really well and didn't want to disrupt that. But that didn't stop Khakis, as you know. The EH is very, very real. He reached out, talked about you, Plague, and kind of how you two got connected. And next thing I know, we're having coffee at Panera. And it was a hell of a sell, I'm not going to lie. And I'd watched enough of the name of Ramas and things. I felt like I was already part of the packs. But yeah, and to Plague's point, that the timing just wasn't right at that point. And but you know, here we are. Through there's way more to that story and how I finally got to F3 and being a committed and engaged member of the PACs. But yeah, and the first my first post was at Cornhusker, July 19th, a couple years ago. Khakis led. I was sitting on my couch on a Monday evening, just coming out of COVID, and you know, so gyms were closed, wasn't able to work out, wasn't committed to my health and or much of anything at that point. I think I had gained close to 20 pounds through COVID. And he texted me, and I remember vividly sitting on the couch, damn, I'm out of excuses. And so I said, you might see me in the morning, Joe, you know, because at that point I didn't reference him as Khakis, but just said, you may see me in the morning. And so I set an alarm. Alarm went off and I'm like, oh, okay, I feel all right. And I was doing Orange Theory at 5 a.m. so that early mornings wasn't, you know, an issue for me, and, got dressed, had no idea what I was getting myself into, to be fair. I always saw the name of Ramas, which was post. I knew people were sweaty, but I had no idea. And then of course, the butt kicking commenced, in the best way possible. But it all started with, a patented Khakis warmer Rama, which I think was one side straddle hop. and then we went right into, the Steinle. Oh, and wow. So went to that, and I think I don't even think there was a pre, the Steinle was the pre thing. We got into the thing, and it was his also one of his patented beatdowns, which was deconstructing the burpee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And by the end of that, and for the next week, I couldn't even scratch my face. I tore my right tricep up so bad. So, but as I look back, I wouldn't have had it any other way. Nothing like diving right in and experiencing it all.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, how did we land on the name Hua?
Well, I, of course, Khaki's new. At that point, he knew, but I served in the Army. I went in when I was 23 years old, already had a family. And so he kind of took care of me because he could have given me, you know, the Marines version, which is oorah. but he allowed me to latch on to the Army hard charging Hua. And so that's kind of how that, I think there were a few other names thrown out, which, as you know, as you're standing in the pit there in the center of the circle, you don't really, you're not grasping everything at that, kind of like giving a cot, right?
Yeah.
You hope you're making sense. But it was kind of all a blur, so I can't remember, but I was grateful that we landed on Hua because I'm sure there were some other things that were less desirable that were thrown out. So.
I love it, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so, you know, I am curious. I want to go back a little bit. So you're working out with your wife at Orange Theory, and then you finally do decide to make a commitment here. Is it, you know, first, was it because of COVID? Was Orange Theory shut down? And then my second question was, how does your wife feel about you guys not working out together?
Yeah. Yeah. She, well, first of all, let me answer the second part first. She's ecstatic that I've found this group, or this group found me, or maybe a little bit of both. Right. And so she's thrilled for that. Of course, she's not as active in the workout as she was either when we were doing it together. So I just encourage her and, you know, try to help her in any way I can. A lot of times I'll bring some exercises and things back. Mm-hmm. She does a lot we live in a condo at Midtown Crossing. So, but we also both still belong to, Genesis, cause it's right there on property, but she likes to just do things at the house. So I'll bring exercises back that somebody introduced in one of the beatdowns, and hey, try this or incorporate this into your workout. So of course she's thrilled that I found the group. I've tried to encourage her to, you know, join FIA or get involved with some of those types of things, but she's a physician assistant, so she's in the OR a lot, so a lot of early mornings and things like that. So most of the time that the timing just doesn't work out, but but yeah, it's great to have her support and encouragement, you know, as I've been on my 2-year journey now. Well, five, yeah. 3-year EH and 2 years in the pack. So,
yeah, you know, so we were getting ready to launch in Sarpy, and we said, we got to find a guy who can sort of be like, at the time it was like our, we needed like a tater tot or a big one for Sarpy, right? Who's like the guy that would get in and EH a bunch of his friends. And so your name came up immediately from Khaki's. It's like, I got a guy, you know, and we went and met with you. And I was looking at a text the other day, cause I was trying to prepare for this. And I remember texting Khaki's, I think we got him. I think he's in, you know, and, but how cool, right? That like you have this relationship with your M and that you guys were able to do that. And, you know, I think it has just worked out. So you, did you used to live in Bellevue and then move to Midtown Crossing at some point or?
Yeah, we raised our family. We raised our kids in West Omaha. They went to Millard West High School. And then I've worked at Bellevue University for the past, this is my 16th year. I worked at Metro Community College before that. And at that point, athletics was reporting to me, the athletic director. So we would go to a lot of games. Mm. Well, I'd drive all the way back to West Omaha, get my wife, and then come back to campus in Bellevue. And that just wasn't, you know, I was losing a big chunk of my day just going back and forth. So we made the decision to move to Papillion right there, 72nd and Cornhusker, which is right by the Orange Theory there. So that's where we had lived for a few years. And then we ended up building a house in Florida and taking care of two homes got to be a little much. So we decided to move into a condo here in Omaha. And it's quite the simple life. But yeah, so that's kind of why we were working out there. Of course, I reflect on that meeting, Plague, and gosh, I've said it many, many times. I kicked myself for, you know, my thoughts were just running about, gosh, who could I grab? Who could I know I could have recruited right out of Orange Theory is guys are paying $150 a month, you know, and we, you know, we get to do this for free. And so I, and then also here at the university, a number of people, but again, to your point, things were good in what I was doing at that time, but
but it was still the pandemic would happen and then, you know, completely change. I am curious, did you play rugby with Khakis or what's your background like from a sports or sort of fitness perspective? Cause you seem like you're a fit guy. You were doing Orange Theory. Like what's been your journey from a fitness perspective? Just kind of maybe looking back.
Yeah, of course. I played all the sports growing up, you know, grew up in a small town, originally from Omaha, but moved to small towns back in the 70s. My dad was an Omaha police officer and ended up disabled. A drunk driver hit him when he was on duty in his cruiser. And so he had a, you know, bad back situation. So he couldn't be an Omaha cop anymore. So we went to small towns, Loup City, Nebraska, then eventually Schuyler. And I'm one of nine kids and we all of us graduated from Schuyler. Now nobody lives there because that wasn't necessarily home. But yeah, I played all the sports growing up and in college I played football, baseball, even wrestled in a couple of meets because they had an open weight class. So I did a little bit of everything. And then I kind of got in that phase where I wasn't in college and just kind of living life. You know, my wife and I had a son while we were in college. That's why I left early and joined the military. But there was a period of time where I wasn't taking care of myself because I wasn't active. And I hadn't been in the Army yet. Of course, the Army got me in shape pretty quickly. And then, you know, I got out of the Army and then ballooned up really fast. I think I went from 200, a different kind of 200, to about 235 in 6 months.
Wow.
And then kind of recommitted myself to fitness. And it's just been a roller coaster since then. And you know, Orange Theory, you know, got me back into a consistent routine. And then COVID, and now here I am 2 years here. And as far as from a fitness perspective, it's probably the happiest I've been just because of the whole concept. You know, the idea of, you know, it was great with my wife. We were rooting for each other and helping each other. You know, now I've got this massive group of people that I know, you know, and I've had a couple of little injuries here and there, but man, the amount of support and encouragement and guys peeling off just to make sure you have somebody there, you know, encouraging you, guiding you, or at least taking a break to help you get through whatever it is you could go through. I mean, it's an incredible, incredible experience. And that's what I mean. It just, as hard as the beatdowns are, it's the happiest I've ever been getting beat down.
That's great, man. Well, and I am curious. I had a conversation with Betamax on Sunday about former military guys and how they view the boot camp. And he's like, you know, for me coming out of the military, you know, I was getting PT while I was there. And once I get out, I wanted nothing to do with any type of regimented workout like that. So I am curious, you know, your perspective on this boot camp style workout.
Like I said, I wish I would have found it right after the military because I wouldn't have ballooned up to 235. But but that's also part of the journey. Right. And and I think he was Air Force. So let's be honest. Is that really a boot camp? I mean,
what do they say? The chair force?
Yeah. I know when I was over in Desert Storm, I know those guys were staying in high rises. We were in tents in the middle of the desert. Right. Nice. So it's respect them all, but that's not the real military. I think there's some there's similarities in the camaraderie, right? But I got to tell you, as much as you want the person next to you to be working their tail off when you're in the military, you don't see the same level of support. I think I don't know if it's I'm not going to say it's a competition thing, but you all are competing for promotions and things like that when you're in the military. Here, you're striving to improve yourself, but you also know by being there, you're helping others improve. And meanwhile, they're supporting you. So it's a different kind of camaraderie. I think, you know, I put my F3 involvement right up there with my military service. And, you know, with the nuances, there's something to be said about serving your country. I mean, at the end of the day, that means so much in so many ways. But when you look at the collectiveness of F3, you know, because this is, you know, yeah, you raise your hand in the military, but then you're told what to do.
Yeah.
Here, you get to choose what you want to do and how hard you want to do it and how often you want to do it. And so the workouts are very similar, but, you know, in my opinion, because you flutter kicks or flutter kicks and all those type, but it's the vibe, it's the environment in which you're doing it. I think there's nothing I've experienced. All the athletics that I've been in, all the teams I've been in, this is to me the best I felt about belonging to something or being a part of something.
That's really cool. It's cool to hear just that kind of comparison from your perspective. And yeah, it's always good to give Betamax a hard time about that.
Of course, yeah.
About the Air Force. I am curious because you kind of mentioned like what Fried DeLead talks about is like the Pogo 40, right? Of like the kind of ups and downs. You feel like F3 is kind of is sticky from a first F perspective? You feel like you've made some progress, or kind of how would you say you're doing today? Are you where you want to be? You said you're happiest, but like from a maybe a weight perspective or a, you know, are you as fast as you want to be, or what sort of goals would you say you've got from a fitness standpoint?
Yeah, man, that's a great question. I think for me, as I've said, it's been a roller coaster. So I don't think you're ever there, right? I think you're kind of, I turned 60 coming up in November of this year. So I don't think you're ever there. There's so much more I want to do, so many different ideas. I think right now my greatest struggle is I just keep experiencing these little injuries. I've had a couple of calf issues. Something's moved up into the back of my knee now. I've been going in physical therapy. I've got an MRI scheduled now. Unfortunately, I can't get in until October for that. That's the hard part of it. But again, I know if I show up, and I will show up tomorrow for the shovel flag pass at heavy tomorrow. And obviously upper body is a non-issue. It's just lower body stuff. But if there's any type of running or anything and I can't do it, I know there's going to be somebody standing there beside me, making sure they're there with me and helping me get through whatever it is I'm going through. And I know I've done that in the past. And, but man, it's tough, as I'm sure you all have experienced as well, even with your young selves. You know, you get nicked up a little bit and your mind saying, God, I want to do this. I got to do this. I need to do this. And the body's just saying you can't. And that's been the hardest part for me. But I can't wait to get on the other side of this and, you know, keep on that acceleration journey. There's so much more I want to do, as I said. I just got to get my body back to that point. But again, it's great having options where you can go and, you know, it's a non-running AO. You know, so you can still get out there and be a part of, you know, the awesomeness of what F3 has to offer.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's kind of the bread and butter of these beat downs, right? I mean, it's, you know, not necessarily a competition amongst the other PAX members, but it's, you can kind of come and take it as hard as you want to do it. And so if you need to be cognizant of, hey, I'm dealing with some lingering issues. Okay. And I hope that you feel welcomed and there's people there supporting you that you know, hey, I've got to kind of take it easy today. You know, I am curious, being an older PAX member, not to throw you under the bus or anything, what do you think of the makeup of the group? What's it like going out there and working out with younger guys your age? I mean, it's kind of unique that we have this set up, and so I'm always interested to hear your perspective on this.
Man, I got to tell you, I think that's one of the most impactful things, right? You got guys in their 70s, 60s, 50s, 40s, all, you know, all the way down to guys bringing their boys, you know, their sons out at a very young age. I think it's one of the most motivating things for me because, you know, with everything going on in our world and looking at the generational changes, man, you hear a guy like E85 out there and the maturity is beyond years, right? Every time he gives a cot, I'm so impressed, but also so encouraged and motivated about our future. When you hear those things, so for me, I've enjoyed all of the age ranges. I think every single person that I've had, you know, I've been blessed enough to post next to, you know, on a daily or weekly basis or whatever, they've all offered something impactful. And quite frankly, just their presence sometimes, you know, mm-hmm. you show up at a beatdown and you're not quite sure who's going to be there unless you've reached out to some guys ahead of time or whatever. Man, sometimes you didn't even know that person was going to be there, but just seeing them is uplifting. And, you know, because you may know something they're going through. Maybe you had a conversation with them and they helped guide you through something. I just think it's one of the, because even at F3, you may have some age ranges like that. When you get in a room, the most you're going to have in there usually is about 12 to 18. And you've got males and females in there. So you don't have the same thing where you've got a group of men, you know, that can talk about things that are impacting us. Right.
Yeah.
And you can still have those conversations, but it's not the same. You can't be as vulnerable or open as you would if it's three of us sitting down like this. It's just not the same. Right. Yeah. And so I've really I've loved the age diversity or the diversity of age that F3 offers. You know, there's youth comes in many different forms, right?
Yeah.
And so does age.
Yeah. I heard somebody say recently, you're not old. You're just chronologically gifted was how they,
yeah, there you go. There, that. Yeah.
But I'm with you. I'm really encouraged when I see some of our younger packs. We just interviewed Baby Shoes, who's only 22. And then
incredible. Yeah. Incredible.
This morning we had an FNG who's 20. And these guys are coming out in their 20s when I know all I could think about was drinking and partying and whatever. And they're hungry to learn from men that have been through life. And that's what this kid said this morning. He's 20 years old. I'm like, what are you doing out here? You know, kind of giving him a hard time. And he's like, well, I'm just excited to be around all you guys. And, you know, it's like, that was unheard of when I was that age, you know? So I think it's that we're seeing that, kind of change, you know, in our culture. It's really inspiring. But, you know, I would be curious for you as you think about, as you joined the group, obviously you knew Khakis. Were there other guys that you knew as you kind of got into it, or how'd you go about sort of getting to know the guys and building some of those relationships kind of on that fellowship piece?
Yeah, obviously I leaned on Khakis a little bit. And of course the first one you meet when you meet Khakis at a beatdown is Tater Top, because they don't go anywhere without each other. It's a yin and the yang, but, and what a super good dude that is, right? He might be one of the most positive people I've ever met in life. So, appreciate him, every single time I even when I don't see him, I think about him whenever I'm feeling a little down. So how would Tater respond to this? Yeah. he would just smile. He would just smile. Anyway, I kind of lost my train of thought there, but, as far as introductions. Yeah. So then Khakis, you know, got me out to the Cornhusker on Tuesday, and then I literally couldn't touch my face because my tricep was so bad. So then we stayed in touch. I just kept updating him on what was going on. And then he said, hey, by the way, I don't remember what was going on at the district. He goes, hey, come to the district on Monday. Well, I have no idea what that is. Right. So I show up at the district for my second beatdown. Well, there's when you start to, you know, figure out he's introducing you to people and things like that. So of course I couldn't do the push-ups. So we just did a modification, nor could I keep up with all the running, but it's always good to, again, have somebody looking out for you. So we'd get to core or something and say, okay, let's get up. And we would start running early.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pack, you know, the group would catch up to us, but I was able to get through that without holding people. Not that people care. But I cared, right?
Sure.
I cared. I wanted to make sure we kept things moving along. So it was great to have that guidance. But, you know, now I would tell you the cool thing for me, I coached a lot here in the Omaha metro area, you know, football and baseball. And I'm seeing these kids, young men, right, that I coach now, ran into, haven't seen Bryant McCann Ditka, hadn't seen him in years, and we posted together last week at Futurama, and it was like we never missed a beat, right? I see him, I follow him on LinkedIn, we're connected on LinkedIn, but to see those connections and is awesome, because now you get to see these kids that you knew worked their tails off when they were middle schoolers or whatever, and now to see them out here committing to the same journey you're on, it's awesome to see. So,
well, and how has that changed the dynamic of your relationship, right? I mean, now you're coming kind of in as equals now instead of this mentored student role.
You're exactly right. And I think the beauty of that, I don't have the whistle, right? So I'm not saying get on the line, right?
Yeah.
They are, right? So now they're in that leadership role. And that's when you're doing this, you don't really have that perspective when you're doing it. You're trying to help them be, instill good values in them when you're coaching youth athletics and good habits and behaviors and those kinds of things. But you're not necessarily teaching leaders. Unknowingly, you're teaching through example. You're leading through example, right? But man, to see them out there now applying that and the maturity and commitment and dedication, the laughter, having fun doing it. It's inspiring to see them. And there's several of them now that I've run into, over the years, and hopefully we'll get to see more come out as, F3 Omaha continues to grow. I mean, what, over 2,700 PAX members now, from start, it's mind boggling to me. And, it's cool to see them and follow their lead for once.
Yeah. Did you, after that district post, did you get to experience Khaki's Cafe?
That was the first time I got to experience it. Yes. And
awesome.
I think I even put it in my shovel flag pass back on the 12th that's one of the first things I hit on was, thanking him for his hospitality. I think it's one of the coolest things for somebody to commit that much time. And it is a financial commitment too. Mm-hmm. I've seen guys try to give him money and he absolutely will not take it. He's offended by that, right? Yeah. So but yeah, I think it's one of the one of the cool nuances of F3 Omaha because that's, I remember I talked to somebody about it not too long ago and they're like, wait a minute, this isn't an actual cafe. And I said, no, it's his house.
It's his house. Right? Yeah. Yeah. He lives here. His family's sleeping inside. Yeah.
Yeah. In the winter to be in the garage, but today you get to be out by the fire pit with 80 degree temperatures at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh man, it's been brutal. Well, yeah. I'm curious too, there's some concepts that we often talk about when we think about fellowship or the second F and like Shield Lock or like Q Source is kind of another big second F kind of thing. Have you had a chance to kind of engage or participate with those things at all?
Yeah, I've been able to participate in a couple of sites in the Q Source, Paradise and Beverly Hills.
Yeah,
because I live east, so when I'm healthy, I'll hit that and do the running. So I've had a chance, and I remember reaching out to Khaki's after the first time I got to experience a Q Source. And, it's awesome having just the side conversations and catching up with people. But to have that purposeful conversation, again, with the diversity in age, is very powerful. Mm-hmm. I found it to, I don't want to do that every time because sometimes you're just not in the frame of mind and you would just be sitting there to be sitting there and you just need to get through the workout and you wanted to go decompress somewhere. But man, I would really encourage people who haven't done it to go experience it. I really like what they do at Beverly. Some they rotate that around like most sites do, but even in a specific session, they give everybody a chance to read a section and facilitate that micro section. So it helps people be more present in the conversation.
Yeah.
I've really enjoyed those. I haven't done them as much as I, have done just traditional cafeteria, but I do enjoy the concept and the facilitation and purposeful conversation.
Mm-hmm. What about like respect pop-ups or anything? Have you been able to participate in those?
Yeah, I hit those whenever it's been a couple of months now with travel and then maybe some injuries. I will be going this Thursday. I won't be able to do any of the running, but I'll figure something out. Mm-hmm. There is a turf field to lay on in due course, so I'll be fine. But yeah, we've done many respect. I know I've led one. I queued a Respect pop-up early in my time. I think I had just finished my VQ, and I remember sitting at a Respect pop-up cafeteria, and TC was like, who I just had his VQ, he can take the next one. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm taking the next one, right? The EH within the EH. So I did queue a Respect pop-up, and contrary to what some joke about, they're no joke. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like it's an easier workout, or we're doing the same things that the hate group would be doing. That was also a really unique opportunity when we did the Respect Hate pop-up together. I think it was Side Dish and Dollface co-led that beat down. And again, it goes back to what we were talking about a little bit, and having these younger guys and, you know, being there with them, and they're looking at us and we're looking at them, and we're both motivated by what we see. And so that was really a cool, again, a really, really difficult beatdown from what I remember. But beyond that, it was just a great experience to have, you know, under 30 and over 50 there together, all committed to the same thing.
Yeah. Love it. Well, and I think Plague and I are both jealous because we've fallen this realm where we're too old for the hate and too young for the Respect. You know, but I guess I could see where you guys like are giving each other an opportunity to get with like-minded people and like-aged people, and just have an opportunity to kind of feed off each other. And assuming that you guys are probably going through some of the same things in your life cycle at this time.
Yeah, that's absolutely the concept, right? I remember somebody, we were sitting at cafeteria and they were talking, we were just teeing up topics of things that are going on, and somebody brought up, oh, I'm getting ready to have my last child or my child go off to college, right? And we're getting ready to be empty nesters. And so a guy started chiming in about what that's like. And, you know, and you think, gosh, what are we going to do with all of this free time that we have now that we don't have kids? And I just reminded him, I said, it will fill up. Trust me. Mm-hmm. You will have no problem filling that time. And then talking about that, you know, the first break that their son or daughter comes home, or maybe the first summer, right, where they think they don't have to follow rules. I try to prepare people for that. So that's exactly what it is. There's just different things that go on. We're at different places in the number of years we've been married. You've got kids are at different age at that point, and some have grandkids. I'm blessed to have three. So you're just able to talk about those types of things. But heck, I honestly believe I could have the same conversations with the hate group that I can have with the Respect, and guys are still going to be fully present in that conversation and trying to help and support and do whatever they could to encourage.
I love that. I got to thinking about like the Whetstone, right? Like kind of the mentoring relationship, and would love your kind of take on that. I think I'm hearing a little bit that it kind of just happens naturally, but would be curious if anybody's reached out. I always think like maybe it's because of corporate, you know, work setting of like a formal, you know, mentor mentee kind of thing, but it seems like in F3 we're all sort of mentoring each other.
Yeah.
And I don't know. How do you see that?
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, I do teammates mentoring. So I've done that for several years, and I actually have a college age young man now that he received one of the scholarships and has to have a mentor, and he goes to Bellevue University. So it's very natural for me to mentor him. So, you know, that's your more formal stuff. Although I'm a pretty informal guy, I can be formal when I need to, but it's just to me about conversation, and you know, whatever comes up in that conversation, you just kind of take it that way and let it happen organically or naturally. So I do agree with you. I think, you know, I think shield locks really have I haven't been in one yet, but I observe some of those that have, and you can tell how incredibly important that is for them and whatever it is, whatever they're trying to get out of it. You can tell that there's commitment and full engagement in that. But gosh, I just think as soon as you try to formalize something that doesn't need formalization, I think you lose something, right? I love just the natural flow of conversation and just let it go where it goes.
Yeah.
Because you never know, just through conversation, somebody may expose something they're going through, but they never would have done it if you were, you tried to formalize it, right? They just feel comfortable in a natural, in a conversation, and then you just let that go. And then you just kind of talk through it. And you know, I prefer, that's how I interview. I mean, I'll ask the questions because HR makes you ask the questions, but I'm really evaluating conversation. I want to know how you formulate thoughts, you know, how engaged are you, those types of things. We can teach you the hard skills. I just need somebody who I know is relatable, caring. That's my perspective and my experience.
Yeah. No, I love it. I think it's so cool. I think too, just, you know, like you said, you never know when somebody's going to be at that moment where they have something on their heart that, or, you know, or maybe the workout was so hard, they're delirious and they just decide to share whatever it might be. But it's like, you know, that moment. And I think SkyQ has a lot to do with that. I remember like EH and khakis, right? It was just a SkyQ moment, right? It was just, I don't even remember walking up to him saying to come out, and he probably doesn't even remember saying yes, but you know, it just happened so fast and he was just ready. Are you or someone you know in the market to buy a new home? Well, if so, check out Major Team Mortgage. They specialize in home purchase and refinance home loans. Their mission is to purposely empower people to experience their good life through building wealth with real estate. You know, showing up in the gloom is no different than showing up for a conversation around your future of building wealth with real estate. Join the action economy and get in the game with Sasquatch. Text or call John at 402-212-0149 to schedule a time today. Individual NMLS number 1393750. Company NMLS number 2478164. Equal housing lender. Curious, you know, as we think about like the third F, what's been your journey, your experience with, from like a faith or a third F perspective?
Yeah, you know, that's probably the one area that I need to strengthen. I grew up going to church, very involved. I was raised Catholic, 9 kids. I know that was probably a giveaway. you know, so very involved in the church, altar boy, youth organizations, going to retreats, you know, got married, and then eventually had our marriage blessed while we were in Germany by the Catholic chaplain, while I was stationed in Germany. And then over time, you know, you just kind of fall away. There's some things that have happened in the Catholic Church that, you know, I think everybody goes, every organization goes through. And, you know, that, I'm not going to say that deterred me. I may be saying that to mask that I haven't committed, recommitted to the level I should. It's something my wife and I talk about. So, but I do feel... this is religion agnostic. I do finally feel like I have some religious connection or connection to something greater than me without going to church. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, you get to, you know, you just did a bunch of hard things together. You got your announcements, prayer requests, and you listen to prayer requests, and gosh, you just, the things you're dealing with sometimes are so minor. So perspective is so awesome. You know, when I'm complaining about my leg and, you know, somebody's going through cancer or a loved one's going through cancer and, you know, it's just minor in comparison. And, but then you get to come together and put your arms around each other and, whoever takes us out in prayer, you know, some have religious, connections, some aren't, right? It's just about reflection. Mm-hmm. And which I think is the coolest thing. I try to explain it to people. We could have an atheist and, you know, a priest in the circle and nobody even talks about it. And,
right.
That's not what it's about. It's just about, you know, being there. But I do believe it's such an important aspect in my life. And I'm not gonna say I've failed, but I've haven't been as committed, I still believe in my faith, and still, you know, do go to church periodically. But it's something that that's part of that journey that I'm still on in that roller coaster. But man, it sure has helped me when I get to put my arm around you know, the high impact men on my right and my left, and get to reflect.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the most important part, right? It's not that necessarily everyone's journey is in a perfect place at this particular point, but that in that moment, they're getting their fill of that third F, right? They're getting some opportunity to reflect, whether that's in prayer or just self-reflection, whatever that is. That's what it's all about. So it's encouraging that you've heard that. You know, on the one thing I'll say about the prayers, and I love that Samples does this, he keeps a list of answered prayers. And I think about people like Tin Cup, right? Tin Cup's going through his sayings, we're all joining together praying for him. And then, you know, he's kicking ass. It happened. And it's just so powerful. And then just the opportunity to sit there and reflect and kind of helps you put into perspective the things that you're going through when you, like you said, when you hear it against the weight of what everyone else is going through is really sobering.
Yeah, and that's such a great example too for me. And I don't know how much time we have, but you guys can shut me off.
We got as much time as you want, brother.
All right. Wow. Finally, I'm in charge of time. you know, it's so awesome that you bring him up because I've talked to Tin Cup about this. I remember he made that announcement at a Respect pop up, and he wasn't Respect yet, but he was just getting ready to become of Respect age, which I remind guys, age 50 is just a number. It takes a lot more for people to respect you. I think I gave that COT and a Respect pop up once when it was like 32 below wind chill, December 22nd, a couple of years ago. It was brutal. But we were there. There was 8 of us. But nonetheless, going back to Tin Cup, he made that announcement, and you know, that's where he felt comfortable and opening up. And man, that's where it really, really flipped for me. I remember walking off the field at Burke with Chicklets, and I was still pretty new, and I was going there and working out, right, and kind of figuring this thing all out. And man, when you hear something like that, and that's when I knew that if I ever was going through something, I know I'm in great hands, right? I've got the right people around me. They don't even know it yet, but they're the right people around me to help me get through whatever it is I'm going through. But it also reminded me that just being present, just being there, even if you're struggling a little bit, you never know what somebody else may be going through. So just being there and just chatting with them, as you're running from station to station or moseying or whatever, and just having conversation, you don't realize how impactful that might be for that individual. And in turn, I really believe you get that back tenfold.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. There's so many stories like that too, right? And I've had so many times where I'm frustrated about something, and then you hear somebody's kid has brain cancer, and you're like, okay, nothing that I'm going through is even close to that, you know? So it's totally agree. I would be curious too, your thoughts on, when you think about the third F, right, there's kind of also this like community service sort of arm, and you mentioned teammates mentoring, and talk to us a little bit about how community service or just service in general maybe has had an impact on your life.
Yeah, I think, I've been a recipient of some of those things growing up, and not having a lot growing up as my dad was disabled and living in small towns. So I had a lot of coaches and, you know, that people who invested time and resources in me. I try to do the same for others in my life or that I may come across. So I've always prided myself in, I don't care. And I sit here in the university as a vice president. I don't care if it's a custodian or a maintenance person or an admin assistant or the president. If I see somebody or somebody, you know, reaches out to me, I will always carve out time to sit down and listen and help in any way possible. But I also gain something every time I do that too, because there's always something I learn, even from my mentee who's, you know, a college kid, right? College young man. So, I haven't had a chance to go out and do a lot of the our community service stuff that F3 offers most of the time, because it hits when we have commencement a couple Saturdays a year. There's just things that travel. I have been out to the Grottoville fundraiser a couple times, and try to do what I can to support that. Obviously, being in higher education, I know how impactful an education can be on a young person's life. So, you know, I'll always try to continue to do what I can to support, you know, what they're doing, and always look for new ways to do that. But I do, you know, Wentworth lives right across the street from my son, so I know he's really involved in. And he reaches out. He's one I really appreciate that constantly reaches out and engages and encourages involvement as well as Vandalay. So I look forward to maybe in year three being more involved in some of those things as my schedule allows, just because of the impact they have on, you know, you're there. You're there with your brothers you're helping somebody else, you know, through some struggles they're having in their life here in the community.
So I just always assume for me when my kids are out of the house that I'll have time for that. But what I hear you saying is maybe that's not always true. Right?
Yep. No, it's I thought the same thing. I thought, gosh, what am I going to do after all the coaching? And it fills up with things. But, you know, that should never excuse us from making commitments and clearing that calendar, especially when it can positively impact others.
Yeah, I just got to take them with me now, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
And that's just tough. I mean, just on a personal level, I mean, I find myself having a hard time sacrificing my time for the good of others because I think about my family. I think about the limited time that I have. But what I'm hearing you say is you're always making a commitment to do that, and you typically gain something from that. Mm-hmm. That's obviously not monetary or anything like that, but just some type of fulfillment for yourself.
Yeah, just fulfillment, right? And especially when you talk about a paint-a-thon, I used to love mowing my grass because I could always look back and look at the progress, right? And say, wow, look how good that looks, right? So painting a house like that is always intriguing to me because you could see the end product by the end of the day. And I mean, it's visual. It's right in front of you. You don't have to wait for a sign, mm-hmm. you know, I accomplished something because it's physically right in front of you.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's pretty impactful and fulfilling in a short time commitment. But yeah, that's something I've got to commit to and do a better job of putting it on my calendar and committing. Not just, oh, hopefully my calendar will be free then. No, make it, you know, put it on your calendar and make a commitment to be there and do that. So, but I also remind people too, you've got to make sure you're taken care of and your family's taken care of, because if they're not, you're not much good to anybody, right? Mm, so yeah. That should still always be the first priority. And if you ever get a chance to you know, serve others, it's a pretty damn good thing.
Yeah, I love it. Sounds like a call to action to me.
Yeah.
This is self-talk, by the way. This is self-talk.
Well, I'll take it with a grain of salt then.
Yeah.
But, well, we do want to talk about your leadership experience at the Octagon. You know, walk us through how that kind of came about, what your personal experiences were, highs, lows, you know, and then how you found the successor.
Yeah, well, I'll start with the last part first. I was fortunate. Khakis had EH Tassels. Their wives are, I think, are cousins or something like that. Well, Tassels also here at the university does a lot of stuff at our commencement. That's the business he owns. He does a lot of photography, and then he also does this thing, Grad Scan, where as graduates are going across the screen, there's a software that you scan a QR code and it projects their name up on the screen as they're. So he provides a service like that. So I've gotten to know him over the years because that department used to report to me here at the university. So we were at commencement, last year. And I mentioned to him, I just said, hey, have you ever thought about F3? Is, you know, Joe Khakis ever talked to you about it? And he goes, oh, he's mentioned something. I go, well, I think I'd love to see you there. I'm going to be queuing at Cornhusker. And I think it was about 3 weeks from then is when I was going to, and we hadn't talked from that point to 3 weeks. I'm standing out there and here he comes walking up to Cornhusker. So it was just a natural for me watching how he's really embraced it, and committed to the mission. And, it was an easy selection for me. So I started the process a few months before my, you know, year-ish was up. And of course, he thought about it a little bit. We just kept the conversation going. And then I think he saw, you know, the value of committing at that stage of his journey. So that part was easy. For me, Dollface was you know, asking me if I was interested to take over heavy metal, which I do go there some, but I do enjoy the cardio. So I was splitting time between Beverly and that, and then Slow Pitch, and Khakis and others were talking to me about the Octagon. Well, then I kind of weighed everything out in Khakis Cafe almost every Monday. And for me, I think which really contributed to my decision, to be honest, but also the a little connection to the Central and the West. Living in the East, it was an opportunity to see some guys maybe that I wouldn't see on the, you know, coming to the East side, you know, unless there was a special event or something. So it became a pretty clear decision for me. And then I was, you know, awesome to see Woody and Caruso take over heavy. We got that Shovel Flag pass tomorrow. Now that year's come already too. So, but the journey, I've really enjoyed it. And, you know, I remember taking it over and just reminded people, you know, I see this as my calling as the next step in giving back and from a leadership perspective to F3 Omaha. But, you know, that's not for everybody. There's other ways. It's just like leading a workout or, you know, queuing one or whatever it might be. I just encourage them to find what that role is for them. But it was incredibly fulfilling for me. I got to reach out to guys and, you know, invite them to come and lead at the Octagon site. Geez, I was reach out to guys and I didn't realize they had never been there. So then it'd get them another week. They'd come and work out just so they could get familiar with the site. Then they would lead. You know, my goal was to make it through the year without repeating a cue. And I believe I made that without having to have somebody cue twice. There may have been one because somebody had an illness or something, but that was my goal. So I felt really good about spreading the wealth and you know, having, you know, diversity and beatdowns and those types of things. I will tell you, Plague and you know, others who developed PaxNet, thank you. I wish that would have come before I took over. Because that was the hardest part, was trying to help Tassels understand, oh, you got this spreadsheet, you've got, you know, this, and then voila, Here comes this euphoric phase of PaxNet. What an incredible upgrade. So it became a lot easier to transition with that tool available. So, but I really enjoyed my time. And, you know, I know when you leave a site queue, it says retired site queue, but I would never say never that I would do it again at another site or when the need or something rises. You know, I stand at the ready to find out what my next role is within the F3 Omaha.
Heck yeah.
I love that. And I love that attitude. And, you know, I mean, the goal is to obviously help instill some leadership skills, right? I mean, we're reinvigorating male community leadership.
Right.
You know, you had experience as coach, you know, mentor in the teammates program. And I am curious, did you pick up any tricks or tips along the way, anything that kind of translated over?
Well, I think at the end of the day, I think one of you said it, you know, as we were just getting ready to come on, I think authenticity. You know, I think as soon as you try to come across, you know, somewhat fake or something like that, you're going to fail miserably. So it's just being your authentic self, you know, having fun. There's a time to be serious, but, you know, we're out here together doing hard things. So make it fun. Make, you know, allow people to enjoy the experience and, because it's going to hurt a little bit, right? So we might as well have some fun and laugh while we're doing it. And there's nobody who does that better than Slow Pitch.
Yeah. Oh man, I know. It's that's been a lesson for me. Is kind of, you know, as I'm, I don't know if I'm getting older, as I got, you know, sober and clean, that it was hard for me to have fun. And so being around guys that are having fun, you know, has taught me a lot just about, okay, I don't need to take myself so seriously, you know, which is such a good lesson to learn. I, you know, curious, any advice or, you know, thoughts, you know, in that realm for guys that are leading a site, you know, anything maybe that you learned through being a site queue, or maybe just other things you've learned as a leader, anything you feel like guys should be paying close attention to?
I don't think there's anything, there's no special sauce or anything. I think, you know, as you're reaching out to people and encouraging them and inviting them to lead it at the site that you happen to be responsible for the period of time, just engage with them. You know, let them know you're here for them. You know, obviously you're there every week, so you have a pretty good idea of what works, what doesn't work. You know, I always try to give people heads up with certain things like the sprinklers at the Octagon, those darn things. No matter how hard we try, they would come on at the worst time. So we'd avoid the football field at certain times of the year. And, you know, just make sure they're prepared. So they don't feel like they're alone or, you know, if they're just unsure or uncertain, you know, I'd always get there early and just, you know, let them know, hey, I'll be there early. If you need something, let me know. You know, some guys need cones, some guys need lights, whatever it might be, you know, as the mornings are still dark. But really that's all it is just being available and supportive. Heck, at the end of the day, they're doing you a favor.
Yeah.
You know, so I've enjoyed the getting to know and watching people and how they construct. And then obviously you get a chance to steal some of their ideas and incorporate them into your beatdowns when you're queuing.
Yeah, I love it. No, that's great. I think helping guys be prepared. And like you said, just partnering is key. I love getting, if I'm on the queue, I get the text the day before, right? That's, hey, do you need anything? You got, you know,
yeah.
You would think by now I've got it figured out, but I still love getting that text, even if it's just to say, no, I think I'm good. You know, you feel like you're going to show up and you've got the site queue to lean on if you need anything.
Well, there's also another reason for that text is you haven't forgotten, have you? You don't have to say it. But
you're
that's also a car. Right?
Yeah, you're gonna be there. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, and well, I think always as a PsyQ too is having that beat down in your pocket just in case something does happen with alarm clock issues or mm-hmm. a child or something. Get that text in the morning so you're prepared to step in and lead a beat down. That'd be the never happened to me on the morning of, so I feel very lucky there. But making sure you have that contingency plan should something go awry in the morning.
For sure. Well, I love it. And, you know, kind of where we like to kind of wrap up is just to get from you, you know, and I think maybe I know what your answer might be, but where do you currently need prayers or encouragement? If guys see you out there, or if, you know, if we're just praying on our own, what could we be thinking about or encouraging you on?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Yeah. Obviously, you know, and guys, guys do reach out to me as I'm fighting through this. I went to the full beatdown on Thursday, then I couldn't even walk. My knee was so swollen on Friday. And so I'm just going to have to figure out how to navigate this thing over the next, probably going to be a couple more months before we really know what's going on. But I still want to get out there and be around. So yeah, I think for myself and I know so many PAX members who have been dealing with the same kind of thing and still want to come out, you know, make sure we're staying engaged. Because as we identified, just being present is good for you as well as others, right? But the other thing, you know, for me is my 2 years, my first year, I lost my father in F3, and my second year, I lost my mother, right? So, and you know, being around guys and you know, having those words of encouragement and, you know, those, that was a blessing for me. And, but, you know, of course, each day we get beyond that, the easier it gets. But yeah, I think just for everybody who's hurting physically, mentally, emotionally, you know, to your point, you know, I'm really motivated by those that are in recovery, right? And and the struggles. Again, for me, showing up, I just being there, I get it back tenfold, listening to people and, you know, listening to men be vulnerable and talk about that openly and honestly. And it's motivating.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not perfect. I've been fortunate not to have to deal with some of those things. Personally, I lost a brother to addiction buried him on his 40th birthday. So,
wow.
You know, I understand some of what guys are going through, but I have not for me, but I know what their loved ones are going through is there. So I want to be there any chance I get to. Those are the ones we really need to continue to lift up and pray for. Again, it's all perspective, right? We all have our challenges and things we're going through, but man, what a powerful and impactful thing to be there with men going through that and willing to talk about it and embrace the challenge.
Yeah, for sure.
And be open to support. So,
Well, I love it. We'll be thinking about you with the knee or the calf stuff going on and
all of it.
All of the above. Yeah. And I would just say, I love hearing your story. It was, you know, it was worth the wait, right? However long it took to get you to join the group. I think, I'm so glad that you're here and that we get to learn from you and, you know, kind of share this thing. So just appreciate your story and appreciate you taking time to share it here.
Yeah. Well, the appreciation's all mutual, brother. I appreciate the invite and, you all sticking with me through that 3-year EH and
look forward. It was worth it. We'll do a little name around. I'll do myself and I'll try to remember how old Pony is. And then we'll have you kind of wrap it up. Brandon Fleaherty, 38, the plague, John Whitworth. Plague. I think he's 33, Pony Express.
Yay. And Russ Lane, 59. Hooah.
And you just
see in the gloom.
You just do the old military hooah, right? Respect, right?
That's right, yeah.
And almost respect, right? You said right, November.
Yeah, depending on my leg, I'll either do it at Woodshed probably. It's a Friday, so I'll either do it at Woodshed or Brickyard.
Nice. I love it. That's fun too, right? When you got birthdays coming up, you can look and get on the queue schedule. I love doing that.
That's right, yeah.
Appreciate your time, brother. Have a great day.
Yeah, thank you. You do the same. Take care, brother. Bye-bye.